We greet you this morning in Jesus' name. Certainly has been good to have been here this morning, and it's good to see each of you here this morning. A beautiful day, as was already mentioned, a little warm, feels like we're going into summer. I too enjoyed our Sunday school class this morning, and before that, our song service this morning. I don't know how the other brethren find it, but it's always good to me to feel that God confirms a message. It really is a blessing to feel that. This morning, as I was sitting here, and even before the song service, I noticed the saying here on the board, where there is no struggle, there is no strength. And that directly plays into the title of my message this morning. The title for the message this morning is The Power of God. The Power of God. I don't preach this message this morning because I think you need it. I preach it because I think I need it. Maybe we'll share a little bit more along those lines in a bit. Before I get into the message, I'd like to share that it's been some time ago that I shared with the brethren. We have our meetings. And I shared with them that I felt it on my heart to speak some time in the future to the youth, preach a message to our youth. And I just asked and invited them for their comments on that. They supported that. And so, Lord willing, I'd like to, on the next message that I preach, I'd like to preach to our youth, share something with you all. That, I think, according to the calendar, as of right now, comes out around July the 9th. We know our schedules can be quite varied here going into summer, and then that might get changed. But I especially invite our youth to pray for that. And I do welcome comments or suggestions for the message topic. I do want you to know that I also want to be under the influence of God's Spirit and speak according to that as well. Certainly something that is close to my heart is the things that you work through in your age, and it's a time of a lot of life is before you, and there's choices, there's feelings, and a lot of things to work through. And yet our youth are such a vital part of our church family, and we treasure that. So you can be thinking about that and praying for that. Okay, getting into the message, the power of God. I'm just going to share a little bit of a personal experience that I had recently. It's regarding our family. I might be a little emotional. Recently we learned that my sister, has the same thing that my mom had. A lot of questions. Come to our minds in times like that. Where is God? Where is His power? This has been a real time of reflection for me on my life. What does God mean to me? Is my faith strong enough that I can still believe? I don't remember exactly who or where in the Bible, but someone said, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Maybe it was Peter, I'm not sure now who it was, but that really came to my mind often. Lord, help thou mine unbelief. There's something about our belief and the power of God that is intertwined. Just a little bit more about my sister. I think she has taken it much better than the rest of our family. And as you know, my brother Phil has the condition as well. And it may still be in question as to whether more of us have it or not. Several of us went for CAT scans. I currently received a clear scan. That almost made me feel guilty. My next younger sister having it, a lot of feelings went through me. I felt like coming out swinging. This is not fair. How can this be? I talked to her and Don this past week, and I was so blessed by their testimony. Very encouraged. As you know, Don was here and preached several Sundays ago. And little did they know then what the answer was going to be. They received their answer soon after that. But Don shared with me how that several Sundays later, he needed to preach. And he just didn't know what to say. He studied and studied and tried to put something together. It seemed like it wouldn't come. Sunday morning came and they just went to church. Into the service, they decided to pray for Don's family. When they began that process, Don said that they finished at 11:30. Many came forward to pray for them. And they had all heard a message. So if you think about it, pray for them. And, and the rest of us too, I invite you to pray for our faith. I will tell you that in the last several weeks, I have reflected on others in my life that I have watched walk this journey. And I have borrowed and borrowed and borrowed on their example of faith. So if you're going through a struggle or you're having a hard time, well, there is no struggle, there is no strength. Know that if you're struggling, God wants to lay up a storehouse full of strength that you may need to loan to someone else. Someone else may need to borrow that. Something that I think is in the heart of God is a question. I think God's heart often wants to ask us, do you really love me? How is God to know if we really love him if he doesn't get to try our hearts? In John chapter 21, verse 15 and 17, Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? And Peter answered with the filial love the relationship one to another. You know that I love you. You know all things. But that wasn't what Jesus was looking for. Jesus was looking for the agape love in Peter's heart. And then he follows through with feed my lambs. It's not enough for us to say to God that we love him and to not do something. I think the heart cry of God is that if you love me, then do something. As you think of our churches today, it seems that there are certain conditions that persist. One of those that I have thought about recently in relationship to studying for this message is boredom. Do we see any boredom in the Church of God today? I'm not sure what your answer to that question would be, and it probably would vary. But I do think that there is something like that, boredom in the Church of God. Now, for us men and brethren and the sisters, it may vary, but there's things that really capture our attention. It's probably nothing that stirs our hearts or gets our hearts pumping like the sound of a diesel motor that is just incredibly powerful. Smoke, wide mirrors, big tires. My dad used to say that diesel sound is the suggestion of power. And rightly so. It's part of us men that we are captured by that, enamored by that. It's not boring, is it? It's not too boring to talk about that, is it? Is it boring to you to come to church, go through the week? Where is the power of God? Is anything changing? Is anything moving? If you ask yourself a personal question, I'm not asking for answers for this, but if you think about your life, are you satisfied where you're at? Do you need something to change in your life? Do you love Jesus? Are you willing to feed his sheep in whatever way that is? If you are up for it, God is up for it. He will put you to work. How do we live in the power of God? The power of God and the will of God are intrinsically entwined. I may not pronounce that word quite correctly. Intrinsically, I think is the way you pronounce it. Entwined. The will of God and the power of God. Sometimes for us humans, it's hard to understand the difference between the two. We see the power of God and we want that. One such situation is in Acts, where the disciples were laying on hands to those that had received Christ, and they were gifting them with the Holy Spirit. And Simon wanted that, and he asked if he could buy that with money. And the apostles answered him that you're going to perish with your money. And Simon answered back that they would pray for him, that the things that they shared with him would not happen to him. We want the power, but do we want the will of God? As we think of Jesus Christ and we live our lives for him, the will of God, is it ours or is it God's? It's God's, is it not? Who then best would write the will of God for us? Certainly would agree that it's best for God to write his will for our life. But in this flesh, we understand that we do have our will, and that may run counter to the will of God. So to receive the power of God in our life, when we accept his will for our life, the power comes with. There are varying aspects to the power of God. I'd like to look at some of those today. One of those is to live in obedience. We read in various places about obedience. to God in the Bible. And I'm not so certain, as I've studied for this message, that I can conclude that there's anything that captures the heart of God more than when he sees a child of his moving in obedience to his will and the direction of his Spirit. If we are willing to be obedient, God is willing to invest in us his power. God's presence in our lives is also progressive. God is respectful to all mankind. He does not press himself upon us. Isn't that amazing? How is it that the power of God, so powerful, can come into our lives and it can change us, and yet it does not come in with any force or pressure wherein that we aren't inviting it? God's power will never dominate over our will. We are free moral agents. We have been given the opportunity to decide for ourselves what we will do with our life. We have the power to walk away. Is it not only right then that God reserves his divine power for those who have decided to put their trust in him? I think so. Something else that I'd like to acknowledge, I don't profess to understand the act of miracles very well. I do believe in miracles. I don't understand why God maybe doesn't perform miracles today as he did in the early days of his church or Jesus' ministry. But I understand that it has often been confusing for the church to sort through the act of miracles, especially when it appears that someone else among us is able to perform a miracle. That is something that really captures our human attention. Often, when those things happen, we see people taken up with it, and often we see people pedestaled, given prominence in places that God never intended for it to be. I just was made to think, as I thought of that, of the account where King Herod, they were doing miracles, and King Herod had proclaimed a time, a special time or a feast, whatever it was, and he was given the royal attire and was given a kingly progression, and he gave not God the glory, and he was struck because he didn't give God the glory and eaten of worms. I think we can gain insight as to what happens when we are taken up with miracles and those that may possibly do miracles or have special powers, and we do not quickly acknowledge that there are powers that can be given to those that are not of the kingdom of Christ. We read about that in Revelations. I don't have that scripture right in front of me. I did read that in my study. And understand that all power of God the glory belongs to him. If you experience healing, if you experience a miracle, giving God the glory is so important. Brother Elmer shared in Sunday school class about the time when in their travel, it seemed like an accident was imminent. And he's convinced the power of God spared them. I shared a time as well when I felt the power of God. Our family was traveling back from Virginia. We were on I-40, coming west, almost home, late at night, 10:30 in the evening. And we were driving in the fast lane of the interstate. And up ahead, I saw a set of headlights pointed our direction. I thought it was in the median and might be a police officer or a trooper investigating something. Didn't know what the case was, but as we got closer, I realized it was moving towards us. And then I realized in horror that it was in my lane. Quickly evaluated the lane beside me, and there was cars I would estimate a half a dozen or so cars immediately to my right. I was driving a car with three other people, occupants in that car, and my sister Joanna was driving a minivan behind me with my mom and dad and several occupants from the family in that vehicle. I remember looking in the rearview mirror and seeing my sister driving right behind me, close behind me. I remember thinking, it flashed through my mind that she would, if I waited to the last minute to turn over, she wouldn't have time to get out of the way. I quickly glanced into the mirror and I thought there was a vehicle, a large Chevrolet van to my right that would prevent me from turning over, but I looked back and I realized there was no time to wait and I just swung it hard to the right. Out of the way in the nick of time, I didn't hit another vehicle. I don't know where that vehicle went. I quickly looked in the mirror and saw headlights behind me. I didn't know if that was my sister or not. I grabbed the radio. I was overjoyed to hear her voice. Wow, how in the world did she make that? My father was sleeping. Needless to say, he was very shook up. He told me later that he thinks four tires squealed as my sister cranked the steering wheel so hard. I don't want to make more of that than necessary. I know sometimes it's hard to know, was it 100% a miracle, or were, did things just come out right? But I just want to give God glory for sparing life and for preventing an accident and for his safe keeping. There's many things in our lives that we need the power of God for. It may be a trial. It may be a temptation. You might fight discouragement. You may face a seemingly insurmountable mountain. And we need the power of God. This past week, I was again battling with a mower that we've got. we bought this mower, and soon after buying it, we came to find out that it worked for a while. And all of a sudden, it would just act like the choke was activated. It would sputter and mutter and backfire and carry on and a humorous manner, but it wasn't funny to me. I needed to mow the yard and get this done. So off to 54 Lawn and Garden we go. I go to the lawnmower hospital. And we tell them what's going on. And Henry looks at it and works on it. And we take it back. And the same thing, nothing changed. And it really, really puzzled us. And this went on and on for three or four times. That we took it, they looked at it, did something different to it, and just couldn't really find the problem. This past week, your mower used to work for about an hour and a half. It was almost like clockwork. And this time it wouldn't even hardly start. So we just took it straight there, and Henry got to looking at it, and it wasn't very long, he called me back, said he found the problem. And in the carburetor, somehow some dirt had evaded their attention. And he found that dirt, and they got it out, and it seemed to be working fine. Well, yesterday, it worked all day long just fine. What was the problem? Just a little bit of dirt. Just a little bit of dirt. How is it in our life? If we're missing the power of God, is there some dirt somewhere? I think as I reflect on my life, I see places where I need to get rid of some dirt. Some dirt here and some dirt there. Clogs up a fuel line, messes with a carburetor. Do we see Christians today among us that are evidencing that something's not right? The power of God is lacking. I long to experience the power of God so that I can live His will. And to make this even more tangible, what is the difference between man-made power and the power of God? If you go to the book of Genesis, it says there that the earth was dark and void. There was nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing moved, there was nothing. And then the creation, and God made these things. And there was movement. Something moved, something happened. Something happened cellularly in the small cell, or even known as the atom. They say that you can, if you get into that, there is a world of movement inside that invisible thing. Where did that come from? I believe it. Before God created it, that there was nothing, absolutely nothing. So to put into perspective the power of God, if you were able to get up out of bed this morning, if you had the ability to walk, that's nothing other than the power of God. We take it for granted so many times. And we can be so wooed and awed by the things of man that we come to think that it is us that is doing this. And that it's not necessarily or really sourced in God. No, it's sourced in God. Recently, I was quite captivated by the strength of our young men, several of them sitting here. Wayne and Dallas and Wilson and Zachary and I recently went to help a local restaurant owner move two pizza ovens. I think they weighed 1,239 pounds apiece, I believe is what it was. And I decided quickly that I think it's better for me to hang around on the outside of this process. Wayne and Dallas and Zachary leaned in and showed their muscles. Really helped out. It certainly did. The strength of a young man is incredible. And I commend them for that. Is that the power that we're going to need to get us to the finish line? I don't think it is. We need muscles, don't we? But we need more than that. I did a little research. What are some of the more powerful things in creation that man has done that we are captivated by? I have just a couple here. the search I did led me to Poplar Mechanics. And you can imagine the kind of things listed with Poplar Mechanics that man has come up with and done that is quite powerful. Some of those mentioned were Bigfoot or the blue whale. I understand the blue whale can, with the flash of its tail, it can deliver the thrust of a fighter jet. An incredible feat of power. It talked there about these powerful cars. I had no idea they had cars that powerful. Cars and trucks and bikes and machines. That a power that'll blow your mind. It's hard to comprehend. One of them was a Dodge Charger. Chrysler builds a projectile that tops out at 204 miles per hour. Last year, Jeff Gordon qualified at pole position for the Daytona 500 with just 201 miles an hour. Tesla built a car with 762 horsepower. A Lamborghini hounding 2.8 seconds from 0 to 60. Wow. They built a gun that has the ability to fire bullets without any gunpowder up to 5,000 feet per second. Maybe I have that incorrect. I see now it's got MPH behind it, miles per hour. That doesn't sound right either, but it's incredible fast speed. It's said that it has the ability to send a bullet through several slabs of concrete or three thick plates of iron. There's the Three Gorges Dam in Sanduping, China, 607 feet tall, 1.5 miles wide, taller than the Washington Monument, several thousand feet longer than the Brooklyn Bridge. Its 22,500 megawatt generating capacity is 1.5 times that of the next largest dam, producing an average of 273,000 some megawatts of power each day. That's enough to run Orlando for 2 weeks. That's a lot of electrical power. They built a truck, a semi-truck, that is powered by a jet engine. Pratt & Whitney J3448 jet engines don't normally have afterburners. They're also not typically bolted into a Peterbilt semi. But that's the case with Shockwave, a big rig that can run the quarter mile in 6.5 seconds. A semi, quarter of a mile in 6.5 seconds. I say, Steve, maybe you can stick with your semi. I wouldn't try that. With a total of 36,000 horsepower, Shockwave holds the record for the fastest semi-truck, regularly hitting 376 miles per hour at air shows where it performs. That's a lot of speed for a truck. Now I'm going to shift gears and tell you about something small that is quite powerful. There's a beetle, they say, that is stronger than a gorilla. British researchers, hopefully shortly before washing their hands, discovered that a male horned dung beetle found in nearly all parts of the world except the Antarctica can pull 1,141 times their own body weight. 1,141 times its own body weight. That's like us, you, pulling 5 times as much as the new Ford F-450. Supposing you could pull 5 times more than the Ford F-450, not 150, 450. It's mind-blowing, is it not, what man has been able to accomplish and not give adequate credit for where credit is due. God made it all. Something that kept ringing through my mind as I was reading about these powerful things. All of this power, and yet it cannot change a human heart. So what is it about the power of God that is so incredible? Embedded in the power of God is His love. Isn't that why He gives us free choice? And He allows us to choose our way of life. Inside the power of God is the love of God. All of the things that man can do, but we cannot come up with the power to change a heart. That is a choice each of us individually needs to make. As Christians, we need the guiding power of God. God promises to guide us through every point of our lives. He designed us with unique purpose in mind and as a destiny for us. The promise of this guidance can be found in Psalm 48, 9 through 14. The psalmist writes in verse 14, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end." This clarifies God's guidance for us. How do we receive that? If we look in the beginning of that passage, it says in verse 9, "Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love." The key to this guidance is having a close relationship with God. We are extremely blessed by God's promise to guide us. Number two, we need God's power to transform us. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God's power transforms our hearts as we invite it into our life. There is no place where God is recognized so clearly as in the Bible. One of the reasons God gave us the Bible is to transform our lives more clearly to reflect Jesus. Yet we can't understand how God changes us through His Word until we recognize why we need to be changed. First, we are made in God's image. He created us to reflect His beauty through our worship, our humanity, and our character. The Bible is a tool for renewal. We see the glory of Christ and God's beauty most clearly in the Bible. It reflects who God is, what He has done for us, and how we should live. God uses the Bible to demonstrate His image. When you open the pages of the Bible, will you take a second to pray that God would transform you to better resemble Jesus? God's power to transform us. God also has the power to reward us. The Bible tells us directly about the things that Jesus will reward. One of the wonderful things Christ rewards is faithfulness through trials. 1 Peter, verse 1, 6 through 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, God wants us to walk by faith in all circumstances. Keeping faith during those trials is no exception. It is difficult to fight for faith when tough circumstances are occurring in our lives. Yet our endurance proves our genuine faith and will bring promised rewards from God. This is what I'm talking about as I reflect on those in my life that I know that went through tough things and they endure. They still believe in God. When we reflect, self-examine, and commit, we honor God and secure our reward with Him. Fourthly, God has the power to save us. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by the which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." The resurrection of Jesus Christ demonstrates God's power to save us. Man has been able to do incredibly powerful things, but one thing they have never accomplished, and that is how to form life out of nothing. That is the power we believe is reserved to God. Only He has the power to do that. He has the power to save us. Fifthly, God has the power to strengthen us. The Bible has not only the power to save us, but also the power to strengthen us. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." In this verse, the word of God is described as milk to both strengthen us and grow in our faith. The wonderful thing about the Bible is that it isn't just an ancient book of theology. It's a powerful book that completes the longing of our hearts. God's word strengthens us every single day while also nourishing our spirit. Our lives should depend on God's word and truth. Lastly, I have the power of God to prepare us. God's word prepares us for our journey ahead. This includes our future. It also has the power to prepare us for our mission. We were all created by God for a reason. It's not just a happenstance. As we live in the will of God, He also reveals to us His mission for our life. That may be on the mission field, or it may be right here in Henry County, Paris, Tennessee, Cottage Grove. Ministering to those around you, encouraging words, demonstrating a change of heart, something man can never figure out how to do, but the love of God can change a heart. And then we also have God's purpose for us in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And that is to proclaim God's word to others in all nations. Since we trust God and believe His word is true, we allow God to fully work in our lives. There is great power in reading Scripture and believing in His power. There is no other book that exists that can change us as the Bible can. When we trust in God and His word, our lives become anew. When we trust in the gospel, your life will be transformed in the image of Christ. Sometimes in life we are tempted to take things into our own hand and try on our own strength. We know how futile that is. I would like to liken the difference between working in our own strength to that of boarding a jet aircraft. I don't know if all of you have had a jet airplane ride or a jet aircraft ride or not. I remember my first time on a jet and feeling the power. It's incredible. How much power did you exert to fly up high into the sky, high above all the things below you in this earth? We know low-flying aircraft is in great danger, is it not? Isn't it interesting that today we have a lot of proclaiming Christians that are flying at low altitude because they don't have the power of God in their life? It's dangerous, my friends. Don't take shortcuts. But like as you would in a jet, sit back, relax. God has it. That's what I would like to do in my life. As we face the future unknown, we don't know what our health is going to be like. We don't know what our life will turn out like. But we do believe that God has got it. I'd like to, in closing, read a couple of verses in Romans chapter 8 that have taken on new meaning to me. In Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a blessing we have in Christ. I'll conclude with that. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.